Support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software, like Jira, Confluence, and Trello, help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. No matter if you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software keeps everyone connected and moving together as one towards shared company goals. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
Welcome to the Daily Hammer, your daily news source when it comes to the Atlanta Braves as part of the Talking Chop Podcast Network. My name is Sean Coleman. As always, it's a pleasure to be with you. You can find me at StatsSAC on Twitter. You obviously can find the Talking Chop Podcast and the Daily Hammer Podcast and the Road to Atlanta Podcast, all a part of the Talking Chop Podcast Network at TalkingChop.com and at Talking Chop across all forms of social media. When it comes to the Braves, here's the latest from Atlanta. In today's episode, I am very happy to welcome Corey McCartney, who obviously writes the Starting Nine article each week for TalkingChop.com and is also one half of the great duo with Grant McCauley, who does the Battery Power YouTube episode, Talking Chop's YouTube channel show, breaking down all things when it comes to the Braves. Before we get into my discussion with Corey McCartney about his latest Starting Nine article where he looked at some under-the-radar potential additions for the Braves that could be great additions to supplement the young core here in Atlanta. Yesterday obviously was a very busy day for another NL East team, and that of course was the New York Mets. The Mets adding three veterans, Eduardo Escobar, Mark Canna, and Starling Marte to their team for the present and the future. Of course, Marte is the big signing. 4 years, $78 million. In my opinion, a very good get for the Mets. The Mets did a very good job of adding a trio of talents that not only are going to make their on-the-field product better, but also are going to be great additions for the clubhouse. Some versatile options that can be used at different places that are really going to deepen that lineup. And of course, Marte being the marquee name added to that mix. I also want to mention that a few of those names, Marte and Canna, are briefly referenced by Corey McCartney in this discussion that I'm going to have with them. Of course, at the time we recorded it, these signings had been not made official, but now, of course, they are. But besides those two, both me and Corey get into some details about some fun names that could be added by the Braves. Moves that would be along the lines of what Alex Anthopoulos has done in the past. Names to supplement the great amount of talent that's already here, but names that certainly could play significant roles in the success of the Braves trying to defend their 2021 World Series title. It's great to welcome Corey McCartney to the show. Corey, how are you doing today, sir?
Absolutely, you too. I'm great. I was actually just down at the Battery, and I will tell you there is a rabidness still with this fan base. And we're up in the Braves clubhouse store, and that place was, I mean, it was insane level shopping going on in there. So Braves fans are still absolutely feeling it more than a month out from that title.
Gotcha. And it's crazy. Corey, I know that you and Grant McCauley, y'all have offered great insight for myself and others for years when it comes to baseball and the Braves as well. But just real quickly, just has it sunk in yet? Just how amazing is it? I know you and Grant have moved on, obviously, talking about offseason stuff, but I'm sure y'all could still put together a 3-hour episode or so about how awesome it feels to finally be, you know, fans of a World Series champions, as well as folks who cover the Braves as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, it still doesn't feel like it I guess it hasn't completely sunk in, because I can still remember, you know, being around the team and being in the clubhouse during the lows of the lows with this squad. And then you think about, you know, where they're at now and the way it all just kind of just quickly came together. I just don't think you thought this was going to be the team that did it. You know, obviously, you know, you can paint as many storylines as you want to about the way things looked after the Acuna injury and all that, but it just never, I don't know that I would have thought this was going to be the team that was going to get this thing done and all that they had to overcome. And it just still boggles the mind that we're talking about a Braves championship with all they had to go through.
But of course, the great thing about winning a title in general is with the Braves, you look at this team, and I would think that some people say, and I'll agree with them, in their championship window that they have, though they're 4 years into winning four straight division titles, it may have happened a bit earlier than people expected, especially with the injuries to Soroka and Acuna. But the thing is that with us winning the title, our championship window is still very much wide open, and you jumped into some ideas of how to supplement a lot of the core that's going to remain with the Braves for years to come with another great article. Corey writes the Starting Nine, one of my favorite articles in terms of all Braves coverage, looking into many different aspects of baseball. But this week, some bargain ideas, some ideas that could bolster the starting staff as well as the outfield. And Corey, before we get into specific names, just from reading your article, I would assume me and you are in agreement. The two areas where the Braves really need to focus on improving or at least getting some quality depth is the outfield and, of course, the starting rotation.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly, you know, you obviously everyone's, you know, waiting on pins and needles for the Freddie Freeman contract announcement to come. And I didn't want to dive too much into what do you do at first base if by chance he doesn't return, because I just think that's something no one's really willing to consider right now. And, you know, it's such a shallow market in terms of first base. I mean, Anthony Rizzo is really, I mean, there's just nothing there. So, you know, I think obviously you're going to be looking a lot more at starting pitching and outfield. And while they could supplement the bullpen, I don't think that's as much of a priority. I mean, it was just so fantastic during the postseason and so few holes there, but I think that they need to consider some stuff, especially, you know, with what they picked up in the outfield. I don't think it's, and Alex Anthopoulos told us this during the regular end of the regular season or end of the season availability with him, Brian Snicker, that they don't think they're going to be able to return all those guys they got. And I think Jock Peterson in particular is going to be looking for an everyday job. And can you afford Jorge Soler coming off of the postseason he had? Can you afford him and Eddie Rosario off the postseason that he had? So I think, you know, while you think consider Black Friday and everybody's out hunting for bargains, I mean, that was kind of the way to approach this was, all right, where can they kind of go that's maybe not that real high-end spending that you would expect or hope for a defending champion? And where could they maybe find some bargains and try to fill those roles in some unexpected ways?
So let's look at some of these names. And the name that stood out to me as really being a player profile that you've seen Alex Anthopoulos really put an emphasis on, we've seen it with Dallas Keuchel. We've seen it with Cole Hamels. We've seen it with Drew Smyly. Really only one of those, you know, to some extent worked out with Keuchel a few years back. But you bring up the name Danny Duffy. And another name that I like is James Paxton, though with Paxton, there's a little bit more injury concern. We know we've got Max Fried, Charlie Morton, and Ian Anderson in the rotation. It seems like Alex Anthopoulos likes those veteran left-handed reclamation projects, and Danny Duffy certainly stands out as that. I think it was a very astute observation for him being someone that could make sense for the Braves to go after.
Yeah, you know, I think he does. I mean, I think he fits a lot of what Anthopoulos likes to do, and he, you know, he is a guy that is going to go out there and try to find, you know, that name that not everyone's talking about, that one that kind of flies under the radar. But, and I think Duffy in particular does, because, you know, he obviously was traded to the Dodgers last year at the deadline, you know, but he was dealing with a flexor strain. He never came back. You know, there's been one report that he might need reconstructive surgery on his elbow. I mean, if that's right, I mean, we're maybe talking about a completely different, you know, how appealing he would be as a free agent. But I just think a guy that's done what he's done. You know, think about last year, even when he did pitch 13 games at 2.51 ERA. I mean, he's at, you know, had a 29.1% whiff rate last year. It's been an average of 25.6 since 2016. I think he's just a guy that fits that mold. I almost think he would be a higher end version of what you got with a Drew Smyly last year. I know they're not completely the same in terms of, you know, what they do, but I think, you know, getting that guy who's been there, done that, but feel like he has a little bit more in the tank. If the elbow's good on Duffy, I think he's, when you're looking at the entirety of this free agent class for starting pitchers, I think that's a guy that you could look at in a year from now and say, man, somebody got extreme value getting Danny Duffy on the cheap.
And we also know that the Braves really do like their left-handed, you know, potentially above average to high strikeout ratio opportunities. Denny Duffy always has kind of had that, not necessarily now like he did earlier in his career, but if he's an arm you can land, he maybe can give you 125, 150 so innings, but if he can fresh arm, that could be a difference maker in the postseason. You also threw out a couple of other reclamation projects in John Gray and Michael Pineda for different reasons, post-type names. Pineda had some good success with the Yankees. Gray's never really fulfilled his expectations, but both of them, you don't have any type of qualifying offer, penalties with them where you have to give up draft picks or anything, but some really fun names that could fill out the rotation. I think John Gray may be a bit more pricey than Pineda, but those are guys who certainly have shown the talent in the past within the Braves system being able to help guys recognize their talent. I think either one of those guys would be great gets as well.
Yeah, and I think you nail on the head right there. I mean, I think that's the thing with Gray, right? I mean, this is a guy who, you know, obviously he's pitched in Coors for the entirety of his career. I mean, actually, weirdly enough, he was better at Coors last year than he was on the road. And I heard Paul Bird told me this years ago that, you know, when you pitch at Coors, it's not the starts in Coors where you're affected. It's actually the ones afterwards, because you have to work so much harder to get your secondary stuff to break the right way when you're at Coors, and it kind of impacts you when you get back on the road, or you're, you know, in his case on the road, or for somebody else when you get back to being at home, the atmosphere and, you know, how different the pitches will break. So just interesting to me that he's been more effective in Denver. But this is a guy, I mean, he's been durable. I mean, since 2016, he's in the top 15 in the NL in innings pitch, strikeouts. He's probably going to be a guy that you're going to be looking at, you're trying to get a multi-year deal. I mean, certainly the Rockies did not extend him a qualifying offer, and I think that he had mentioned last year he actually wants to stay in Denver, so maybe they end up working out a multi-year deal to keep him with the only franchise he's ever known. The flip side of that, though, I think Michael Pineda could be really kind of an intriguing option here. I mean, this guy, you know, I mean, we've seen the highs of the highs with him, and then obviously you've seen somebody who, you know, had to sit out with a PED suspension, but he's a guy that even last year when he was struggling, the whip is still really strong. I just think that he's someone you could get on the cheap. It's unlikely in my mind to be around that $10 million mark. You know, maybe that's what he made the past two seasons, but coming off of his struggles, maybe that doesn't happen. He's probably not going to be a guy that you're going to expect him to give, you know, to push for that 200 innings. But I certainly think he's somebody that, you know, he limits hard hit rates. I just think he would make sense too. Again, I mean, you're trying to look beyond that real high end and look a little bit more towards what's realistic for this team, because I don't think they need, because the young guys they have, I don't think anybody you want to look at is I love Marcus Stroman, right? But I don't know that if you're going to go 3-4 years on a Stroman, you know, what does that cost you in terms of, all right, Kyle Muller, Tuki Toussaint, Kyle Wright, you know, sorry guys, Mike Soroka when he's back, we just don't have the rotation spot. So I would anticipate what they do is probably going to be in the lower end, and it may not be those moves that'll, you know, light up a newsroom, but I certainly think Pineda and Gray would fit the mold of guys that could be really nice supplements for what they already have.
Support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, or whether your team is around the corner or on another continent altogether, Atlassian software is built to help keep you all on the same page from start to finish. That way, every one of your teams, from engineering and IT to marketing, HR and legal, can stay connected and move together as one towards shared company-wide goals. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Agreed. And I think that that's the key word here is supplements. A lot of these names we're mentioning, yes, there are the Marcus Stromans. There are trades for the Brian Reynolds and things like that. These guys that would be major moves. But the thing is that the Braves already have a very good young core. A lot of what Anthopoulos does, he's done a very good job of supplementing. Obviously, that's what he did at the trade deadline, Corey, bringing in Adam Duvall, Jorge Soler, Eddie Rosario, and Jock Peterson. But as you mentioned, likely seeing Jock Peterson move on. I think there's a good chance Jorge Soler and Eddie Rosario have some good markets develop as well. I feel confident that Adam Duvall will be back. So you've got a duo of Ronald Acuña Jr. and Adam Duvall that are trustworthy, a pretty good duo to start with. But you bring in a couple of names that I really think are fun that really also could have good value with the Universal DH likely coming into play next year and with the obvious uncertainty with the future of Marcell Ozuna. Mark Cagna, I believe it's Cagna, correct me if I'm wrong, obviously a very good track record of offensive production in Oakland, but also Corey Dickerson, two names that can play the corners, but also could really deepen this lineup at the DH position if the Universal DH is there next year.
Yeah, the one thing I think you have to consider with the outfield is how much are they willing to say that Christian Pache is ready? Because I think that changes everything, right? Because if he's not and you feel like you've got to go out and do something else in center field, then maybe you do enter that Starling Marte market. Maybe you do, you know, get a little bit more aggressive, or maybe you try to make a deal to swing for Byron Buxton and go for that, you know, guy that's could be a real high-end, you know, defensive player for you. But I think there's potential for them to get better in the corner spots with some, you know, because look, I mean, as much as we're talking about Eddie Rosario and Jorge Soler, a year ago, talking about those two guys, or 6 months ago, you're kind of shrugging your shoulders saying, okay, I know the name, but he hasn't been playing all that well. And I think, you know, with Mark Canha, I think the thing with him is that, you know, this is a guy that, you know, he's been extremely solid. I mean, that's the thing. He's just, and the same thing with Dickerson. They're just solid players. You know, that Canha, the last 4 years, way to run creative pluses of 115, 146, 127, 115. I mean, he has a, you know, a high walk rate. He's actually just right behind Freddie Freeman with walk rate last year at a 358 on base percentage. That ranked 14th in the AL among their qualified hitters. So I think he just makes sense as a guy that's just in. If you need depth and you want to give Freddie Freeman a few days off every once in a while or get him in that DH spot, he can also play first base. Obviously, Dickerson is somebody that's, you know, all too familiar to Braves fans, having played for the Marlins. But this guy's been an above-average hitter in 7 of the last 8 seasons. He played really well with the Blue Jays last year. He wasn't having a fantastic season with Miami. I just think he's another guy that he'd be an economical pickup. He can play both corner spots. And you can, if you do feel like that Pache is the guy you want to go in center and you don't want to play him every day, but you got Adam Duvall who can play center. If you had a Mark Canha who can play center, I think there's enough ways to mix and match things where they don't have to swing for the fences to upgrade that outfield. If you can't bring back Soler or Rosario.
And Corey, speaking of these outfield targets, one other aspect that I think will likely play a factor in who exactly the Braves target to add to their outfield depth is options that can play center field. Listen, I know we talk about Adam Duvall and Ronald Acuña Jr. Yes, Adam Duvall did play a competent center field for the Braves during the playoffs. Ronald Acuña Jr. has played a competent center field in the past, but relying on Duvall to play center field for an entire season or relying on Acuña Jr. to play center field coming off an ACL injury injury, neither one of those options really seem ideal. Even if the Braves do have faith in Pache's ability to handle center field duties at the major league level, I do think it makes some sense for the Braves to also go out and get a veteran piece that they somewhat reliably can put in center field for long stretches as well.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, right? Because I don't think you want to add additional stress to somebody coming off of a knee injury. And while I think Acuña can play center field every day and be an above average center fielder on an everyday basis, I just don't think you want to do that to him. I think we've seen him be so much more productive in right field, and I've, you know, Brian Snicker's told us many times. I mean, they just feel like he has less to worry about when he's playing a corner spot. You just take something off of his mind where he doesn't have to mentally approach it the same way, because there's just so much more that goes into it, because you're basically trying to cover ground for two guys to the sides of you. You're basically trying to quarterback that outfield. So I think taking that, you know, away from him is just to his benefit and the Braves' benefit. So, you know, I think you would like to get a guy, you know, who could provide you with really strong defense. And prioritize that a little bit more, because I think your offense, your lineup is so deep, you know, and the fact that you're going to more than likely have the designated hitter this next year, so you're not potentially losing two spots in a lineup when you think about, you know, days when anybody but Max Fried is pitching in terms of what you have at the plate and potentially in a pitcher. I think, you know, to be able to just to be competent at the plate, competent more than anything else, but is Pache competent right now? I mean, I think you saw him improve at Triple-A, but sometimes, you know, is he a 4A bat? Is he a guy that's going to be able to be a consistent major league bat? I think that's the biggest question mark for this team.
And then the last question I'll ask you is this. You hit on a couple of fun names as far as candidates go. John Means and Michael Fulmer. Now, of course, Fulmer, probably the more household name, though he has been the least productive pitcher of the two. Now he's in a relief role. But I'm asking you more than the player specifically. I think John Means is a very sensible player to go after, one that's controlled for multiple years. At what level do you think Anthopoulos may go with a trade? Listen, we all would love to see that one big trade, that cost-controlled, difference-making type player that you could add to the core going forward over the next few years. Do you feel that the Braves would go for a John Means or higher level type player, or maybe expand the opportunity of going after a Michael Fulmer and perhaps a Robbie Grossman from Detroit to be able to get you both an outfielder and a relief arm? At what level do you see the Braves really being motivated to make a move? I think this could be the year where we could see that significant trade.
Yeah, I feel like we've been saying that for 5 years, right? I mean, as you think about, you know, John Coppola and retooling this farm system, and all we overheard from, I mean, the words that all we ever heard was prospect capital. We're building prospect capital, and they've yet to really spend on prospect capital. I mean, obviously Bryce Wilson, you know, was dealt. You know, we've seen, you know, Joey Wentz dealt, but we've not really seen anybody of major significance dealt where you thought, okay, man, they're going all in to try to get this guy. I think, you know, you're to the point where you have enough question marks with the rotation. You don't know when Soroka is going to be back, and when he does get back, how long can you ride him in a season? So I think, you know, if you could get somebody controllable that feels like an upgrade over what you have in house, that to me is the biggest piece of it, right? I don't see them being in a position where you're looking to spend that prospect capital to go out and get somebody in the short term. But John Means, I mean, that guy's got 3 years of control left. I think that's why it gets so intriguing to be able to think about it, utilizing it to get him. I mean, obviously with Fulmer, you know, if you can get Grossman and you can take, you know, that additional piece off the table and feel like you've met both your needs with one move. But is Fulmer better than what you already have potentially with Mueller, with Wright, with Toussaint? I think Means is better than those three right now. I would do it for Means. I don't know that I would be willing to do it for a package deal with the Tigers. But at some point, you've got to do this, because it ultimately happens. And I forgot to mention Colby Allard when you think about, you know, high-end prospects as they've moved. There comes a point where that guy's value, you either have to – he's either sticking around long enough in the minors that nobody wants him because he's not been good enough to crack your major league roster, or you bring him up and everybody sees him and now the shine's kind of worn off. So I think that's the danger point that the Braves are in, is eventually you're going to have to move some of these guys, because just the fact that you don't have space, and the word kind of gets out that this guy may not be the viable major league product that we thought that he was.
And I think you hit the nail on the head in your description I was about to come back with. It really comes down to the question, now that you know, I mean, obviously, you're clearly in your title window. If you can get 3 years of certainty with John Means, if the difference between Moeller or Davidson to him is worth it to trade maybe one of them away with 6 years of control along with another prospect or two, yes, I'd do it all day long. Go after the certainty to add to your core and be good. And you're right. I'm someone who's been on record is saying when it comes to Christian Pache, I'm okay with the idea of potentially trading him in a deal to go get a, you know, difference-making controllable name, because I feel like we're at that point with him. One more year of him not really adding value, now you start to see his trade value from a prospect standpoint, you know, dive down a little bit. So I agree with you completely. It's certainly going to be a fun offseason. We've got about a week left before, you know, a lot of things get uncertain when it comes to collective bargaining agreement and things like that. It's going to be a pretty fun active week, I would say, Corey, as far as baseball in general.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to feel like the doomsday clock ticking in the Watchmen over the next week. You know, just wondering, okay, are they going to get this thing done? Because I feel like we're headed towards a lockout, and I don't know how much, you know, we're going to see teams rush to get a move done, or how much you're going to see players rush to get something done with some uncertainty as in terms of, you know, how long they're going to have to wait. Because if there's a lockout and there's no player movement, some of these guys are going to not have, you know, they're not going to be, they're not going to know where they're going to be for months. So I think this is going to be a really interesting next week, you know, in terms of, it may not be the Freddie Freemans, the Trevor Stories and, you know, Corey Seager's, Carlos Correa, the guys of that ilk, but I would imagine a lot of mid to low level free agents are going to be looking to get something done over this next week, so they have some certainty going into their winter.
And that's why we love having Corey on the show. Next time, once for Freddie Freeman, because I know this is another interest of Corey and myself, will Freddie Freeman sign with the Braves and remain more along the lines of Captain America, or will he go elsewhere and become more of the ilk of Icarus from Eternals? Corey knows what I'm talking about. All joking aside, I know Corey's a big superhero fan, but his name is Corey McCartney. Been very kind to join us. We likely will have him again sometime this offseason. Corey, thank you so much for making the time to join us, and please plug all your great work that you've got going on with the offseason here.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, Grant and I will be coming at you all offseason long with Battery Power, so you can find that on the Talking Chop YouTube channel. Of course, you can find my work, the Starting Nine Weekly, on talkingchop.com. So make sure you check all that out.
His name is Corey McCartney. If you've known him, if you've followed Braves for years, you know his great work from various outlets. But obviously to folks like him and Grant McCauley, as well as all of us here at the Talking Chop Podcast Network, it's just so much fun going into an offseason where instead of, yes, focusing on defending the title, it's a lot more fun to do that than figuring out how we're going to get there. For Corey McCartney, my name's Sean Coleman. You can find me at StatsSAC on Twitter. Corey, where can folks find you one more time?
You can find me on Corey J. McCartney on Twitter.
That's right. I couldn't remember if it was CJ McCartney or Corey J. McCartney, but Corey J. McCartney on Twitter, myself at StatsSAC, the podcast wherever it's available. Thank you so much for all your support, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Daily Hammer.
Support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually, we're great, but together, we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.